And turn with me, if you will, first of all, to the New Testament book of Acts, chapter 16, beginning at verse 20. And then we'll be going to Psalms chapter 40, verse 1. We are reading today from the New King James Version. And our entire scripture lesson text can be found on the insert in your bulletin and beginning on page 586 of your pew Bibles. Acts chapter 16, verse 20. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing that the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" In Psalm number 40, beginning at verse 1, David records these words. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord." Pray with me this morning as we examine this text with this thought in mind. A new song in my mouth. A new song in my mouth. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity of standing before these thy people. And Lord, we pray now that the words of my mouth and that the meditation of all our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, Amen. What would you do if you were falsely arrested, stripped naked, beaten, and thrown into a cold, dark jail cell? What would you feel like doing? Would you feel like singing? Most of us would be filled with rage. But when these things happened to Paul and Silas, Paul looked at Silas around midnight and said, "Silas, let's have a prayer meeting." And they started singing. The Bible says that they woke up the whole jail with their songs and their prayers. And what would make a person sing under these conditions? It has to be nothing else but the Spirit of God. And David gives the same testimony in the psalm that we read as our text today. Throughout the book of Psalms, we are encouraged to sing praises to the Lord. In fact, the book of Psalms is itself the Hebrew hymnal. It's their song book. All the psalms that we like to recite for encouragement and strength were the songs that Israel sang in the temple. And Paul and Silas were no doubt singing one of those psalms of Israel that night. They may even have been singing that same psalm that we rehearsed today in that Philippian jail. Singing uplifts the soul and refreshes the spirit. But sometimes you don't feel like singing. Sometimes life situations put you more in a mood to moan than to sing. And like Israel, when they were taken captives and carried off to Babylon, they asked the question, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Sometimes your circumstances will convince you that you don't have a song in you. But God can put a new song in your heart. Regardless of your current circumstances, God can make you sing again. God can give you a song to sing when by right you should be in tears. And how can he do that? Well, God creates a new song in your heart by letting you know that he's right there with you. He He's right there with you. David discovered that when he was in the midst of his troubles, that God gave him a new song to sing. But David also found out that he had to wait on the Lord. He had to learn patience. He had to learn that the God that we serve is the Lord of time also. When he comes, it's never too late. When God acts, it's always worth the wait. What David learned back then is true for us today. If you wait on the Lord, he'll put a new song in your heart and in your mouth. So let's examine this text to see how God can put a new song in our mouth. Chapter 40, verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me. Wait on the Lord, and he'll come to you when you need him. He'll come to you when you need him. If you wait on the Lord, he will incline to you. That means he will lean towards you. He will draw close to you. And God will let you know that he's right there with you. But you must be able to recognize his voice. Many people have difficulty hearing the Lord when they're in trouble. When they are in a storm, they expect to hear God shouting above the wind in some dramatic miracle. But as God told Elijah, he doesn't come to us in that way. Instead, he whispers to us in a small, still voice to let us know that he's right there near us. That voice that we hear telling us to trust even when we cannot see what's up ahead is the Lord inclining towards us. We need to learn to recognize the Lord's voice. The Lord draws near to us, but we won't hear him unless we draw near to him. And part of the task of hearing the Lord is being patient enough to listen. Many people have trouble waiting patiently. Patience doesn't come easy. Patience must be developed. And so how do we develop patience? Well, James tells us that we develop patience through the trials that we go through. James chapter 1, verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces faith, patience. The testing of your faith produces patience. Don't despair when the Lord allows you to go through trials. He's developing your patience. Look at verse 1 again. It says, if you wait on the Lord, he will come to you, but there's more than that. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. If you wait on the Lord, he will answer your cry. Wait on the Lord, he'll answer you. He may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. Now that may sound like a cliche, but it's so well known because it's so true. It may seem as though the Lord has waited too long sometimes to act, but just trust him. His timing has never faltered, and his judgment has never failed him. Let's look at the Lazarus story. Jesus received word that his friend Lazarus was sick, and the disciples said, let's go now. Jesus said, let's wait. So they waited another day, and Lazarus had been there for 4 days by the time that Jesus arrived back there. Martha said that if you had been here, he would not have died. She thought it was too late. Everyone was crying because Lazarus was much beloved. But Jesus loved him also. And Jesus waited 4 days to establish faith in the hearts of everyone who knew Lazarus. Jesus wanted to demonstrate that not only could he heal the sick, but that he could raise the dead. Everyone was crying. But when Jesus stood there and shouted, Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus came walking out of that grave, and the crying stopped. And the people standing around who had not planned to become disciples of Jesus began to praise his name. Faith took hold of folks, and there was no place for crying anymore. Wait on the Lord, and he'll answer your cry. But that's not all. Wait on the Lord, and when he comes, he'll give you something else that you need. Look at verse 2. It says, he also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. If you wait on the Lord, he'll cleanse you of your sin. He'll cleanse you of your sin. Sometimes we look at the situation we get ourselves into and we wonder if we'll ever get out. David admitted that his problems were caused by his sin. And that's the first step, confession. David was amazed to discover that the Lord was able to lift him up out of the pit which he had gotten himself into. God is able to lift you up out of whatever situation and condition that your life is in, even though you did it yourself. Just ask Jonah. Jonah got himself into a terrible situation by resisting the will of God. God told Jonah to go and preach to some folks that Jonah didn't think deserved to be saved. So Jonah got into a ship going into the opposite direction of the way that God had told him to go. And it wasn't long before Jonah found himself in a great storm out at sea. And the ship was being tossed about and was about to sink when he confessed to his shipmates that he was the cause of the storm and the cause of their problem. And he told them that if they wanted to live, they must throw him overboard. And they did. And that's how Jonah ended up in the belly of the fish, by disobeying the will of God. Just imagine that situation. Imagine the misery of being in the stomach of a fish, half dead but still conscious enough to be aware of your situation and where you are and all the stench and everything else, and just knowing that you won't get out. So just like the prodigal son, Jonah came to his senses and began to pray to God. And God caused the fish to vomit him on the dry land, the Bible says. And then Jonah went on and preached what God told him to preach, and the entire city of Nineveh was saved because they repented when Jonah preached to them. God is able to lift you up and to wash you off. He's able to cleanse you from all unrighteousness and send you back on the way to do his will. He is able. He is able. Call on the Lord and then wait on him, and he will cleanse you from your sin. But God will not just save you and then leave you to fend for yourself. He'll do more than that. Look at verse 2 again. It says, he also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. If you wait on the Lord, he will secure you so that you do not fall. He will secure you so that you do not fall. Up out of the pit and onto solid ground. When God lifts you up, he puts you in a safe place. Your life won't come crumbling down around you if you build it around the principles of God's word. You'll still have setbacks and disappointments, but you can be secure in knowing that if you stay with God, God will stay with you. When you wait on the Lord, he will not let you fall. And that's a great comfort. That's a great comfort. Just knowing that the Lord will not let you fall. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations in which we feel somewhat uncertain. We don't know how things are going to work out. We cannot see what's at the end of the situation that we're currently in. And sometimes we find ourselves in new situations, situations where we have no frame of reference because we've not gone through this before. It may be a death of a loved one, a loss of a job, family crises. These situations come upon us and we feel unsure about what our next step should be. We may be unsure about many things, but there's one thing about which we can be absolutely certain. If you stay with God, God will stay with you. If you trust him, he'll be right there. If you call him, he will answer. He will not let you fall. He will be that rock on which you can stand. Trust him, and he will lift you up. But he'll do more than that. Look at the verse again, verse 2 again. It says, he also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. When you wait on the Lord, he will direct you so that you do not lose your way. He will bring you up out of the pit, and then he'll lead you in a new direction. The characteristic of being lost is that you don't know where you are, and you don't know which way to go. God gives us a way to go. He directs our steps. Psalm 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God established our steps. That means that when I try to turn back, when I try to walk in the old sinful ways, the Holy Spirit guides my feet to keep me following the Lord and won't let me turn around. When you wait on the Lord, he will direct your steps and will not let you lose your way. When you wait on the Lord, he'll give you a new confidence. As you continue in this life journey, you'll be confident that the Lord is right there with you. You may not know what your tomorrows hold, but you'll know for certain who holds tomorrow. And when I stop and consider all that the Lord has done for me and how he's fixed up my life after I mess it up time and time again, I'm glad that my tomorrows are in the Lord's hands and not in my own hands. I'm glad that the Lord is directing my steps, and I know that he will not let me go astray. And when I think about the Lord's goodness towards me, I understand why David said that he felt like singing. Look at verse 3. And he has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. When you wait on the Lord, he'll make you sing a new song. He'll make you sing a new song. God gives you a new attitude, an attitude of praise. And when you have that new attitude, you cannot help but sing God's praises. When you wait on the Lord, he gives you a story to tell. David declared that since God had put a song in his heart, he was going to declare to the world the goodness of God. And he gave us this song. And that should be our testimony also. But listen as David's song, which begins in verse 3 of Psalm number 40. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works, which you have done, and your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips, O Lord. You yourself know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. That's David's testimony. He declared that he had to tell what God had done for him. And if God has ever done anything for you in your life, you ought to tell somebody about it. You ought to tell somebody if you're ever lost and the Lord found you and found your wandering soul and brought you in. You ought to tell somebody if you've ever been sick and prayed that the Lord to make you well and you got up out of your sick bed. You ought to tell somebody if you ever asked the Lord to see you through something and praise God you made it through. If the Lord's ever done anything for you, you ought to tell somebody about the goodness of God. You ought to sing praises to his name. We need to stop and consider how good God has been to us. And it doesn't matter what you've been through or what you're going through. God has been good to you. I know that he has. I can testify even if you can. God has been good to me. And I know what David was talking about. I know what Paul and Silas were singing about in that jail cell. The Lord has been good to me. I'm going to tell it every chance that I get. He has put a new song in my mouth. What about you? Can you testify that God has been good to you? If so, you ought to praise his name. You ought to sing praises to God. If you wait on the Lord, he'll come to you when you need him. If you wait on the Lord, he will answer your cry. If you wait on the Lord, he will cleanse you of your sin. If you wait on the Lord, he will keep you from falling. If you wait on the Lord, he will direct you so that you do not lose your way. If you wait on the Lord, he'll make you sing a new song. If you wait on the Lord, he'll make you sing because you can feel his very presence and know that he's right there with you. If you wait on the Lord, he'll make you sing because you'll know that he's heard your prayers. If you wait on the Lord, he'll make you sing because you know that he's your water in the dry land. He's your food when you're hungry. He's your shelter in the time of storm. If you wait on the Lord, he will make you sing because he'll put a new song in your mouth and his praises in your heart. Just wait on him. He's always worth the wait. Wait on the Lord. When he comes, you'll forget about the troubles that you went through. When the Lord comes, he'll bring you through with a new song on your lips. Just wait on the Lord. And you'll find out that he's been with you all the time. He just wants you to learn patience. There's a poem written by an unknown believer that gives us a beautiful example of the reward that's waiting for us if we wait on the Lord. This life's journey is wearisome and difficult, but all of our troubles will be forgotten. And they all seem like nothing when we get to the end of the road that the Lord only knows where we're going. And it's not just at the end of the life that we're singing about, but each day that the Lord guides us, we should have a song in our hearts and in our mouths about where he's bringing us. He brings us through troubles daily, and we should have a song daily on our heart. As he leads us through each trial, we should look back and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because he has a way of allowing us to forget about the pain and the hurt. and think about his grace, his mercy, and his goodness. If you've ever trusted the Lord, you know what that's like. But listen, as one believer sings his song, he says, my life is a wearisome journey. I'm sick with the dust and the heat. The rays of the sun beat upon me, and the briars are wounding my feet. But the city to which I'm going will more than my trials repay. For the toils of the road will seem nothing when we get to the end of the way. There are so many hills to climb upward that I'm often longing for rest. But he who has marked out my pathway knows just what is needful and best. I know in his word he has promised that my strength will be as my day, and the toils of the road will seem nothing when I get to the end of the way. When the last feeble step has been taken, and the gates of the city appear, and the beautiful songs of the angel float out on my listening ear, then all that seems so mysterious will be as clear and as plain as the day, and the toils of the road will seem nothing when we get to the end of the way. Jesus will be waiting for us at the end of the way, only if we accept him along the way. We need Jesus right now as we endure the toils of this road. We need him, and he's waiting to receive us. All we have to do is receive him by faith. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. In just a moment, I'm going to give an altar call. If you're ready to join this fellowship as we sing the Lord's song, and the call is given, you come. Come as a candidate for baptism or by your Christian experience. But do come. Don't put it off. We are not promised tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Or if in the church and you haven't sung the Lord's song for quite a while, if that's your case, when the call is given, you come. Come and ask God to restore your song. Or if you're already singing because of the goodness of God and you want to keep on singing praises to God in thanksgiving, when the call is given, you come. Come to the altar of God, all who desire prayer. The doors of God's church are open.